We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. It's the fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back here talking some more Penn State football. Taking questions from you guys now. This is Ask Greg. If you don't know, we have on the Keystone Sports app, there's a button to ask Greg a question. He's our recruiting guy, so I would recommend downloading the Keystone Sports app. There should be an Ask Greg app, too, by the way.
Maybe.
Ask Greg a question. We'll read it on the air, and you'll have that to put on your mantle for the rest of your life. You know, it's life-changing to have a question asked by answered by Greg. info@ksnsports.net is the email if you want to do it that way. We'll take them that way, too. Let's start, Greg. Jason from Butler here. Good question. Says, when recruiting against the big boys like Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, what does James Franklin sell as the advantage to committing to Penn State?
Well, I mean, it depends what the kid wants. So every kid is different, right? So there's some kids that'll say, my biggest priority is playing time. So if Penn State can look at the depth charts of the other schools that they're competing against and explain to a kid why it would offer him the best opportunity to play early, that's the tack that's going to take. And that gets into that weird gray area of, is that negative recruiting or is that just factual? And I think it's just factual. I mean, it's not like it was back in, you know, even 20 years ago when, you know, the internet didn't pretty much list everything you possibly could want. I mean, everyone knows everything about a roster makeup and all this stuff. I mean, Michigan may not put out a depth chart, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what their depth chart is if that's what you want to do. And if you're going to recruit against them, you better figure out what it is. So I'm sure Penn State has. But, yeah, I mean, some kids might say that, you know, a family feeling is what they're looking for. So Penn State will, obviously it's something it does with every kid, but, you know, it may go above and beyond for that kid when he visits. So it just depends. I mean, obviously Penn State can't necessarily boast some of the recent success in the draft. I mean, obviously very recent they can, but, you know, all these programs have a pretty nice little run here of sustained success on the field, off the field in the draft and recruiting championships and so on and so forth. So they can't necessarily use all those things, but depending on what a kid's looking for, they do, of course, have plenty to sell. It's why the recruiting has just continued to rise with Franklin in town.
So I think that, yeah, and I don't think it's dishonest, but I think any salesperson, which is what recruiting is when it comes down to it, but any salesperson is going to do a little bit of personality mirroring.
Yeah.
They're going to try to anticipate what the wants and needs are of the receiving party, and they're going to try to, you know, they're going to remain who they are, and I think their pitch is going to be, you know, at its core, pretty similar from player to player, but based on what the needs and wants are of the player, they're going to pitch themselves differently. From a purely, you know, national caliber program point of view, when you're comparing yourself to Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, I think the pitch probably goes something like this. We are still building, and look where we are. We're not even anywhere close to being a finished product, and look what we've done the past two seasons.
Right.
Can you just imagine if we get you and players like you where we can go here? Our goal is the same as everybody's, to win a national title. We think we're very, very close, and getting guys like you is what's going to make the difference.
I think they just cut this in the Lash Building, and they're just going to play that for recruits from now on. So nicely done. But it was your.
Oh, man. I pity them so much if that's the case.
It's spot on, though. I agree. There's no doubt about it. And I think that what you basically tell these kids is, especially if they're, and you tell every kid, but the top of the top, the elite of the elite, you say you want to go win a national championship and be a part of the reason why, not just a role player. You can do that at Penn State, so that's part of it too.
And then within that, I really think that James Franklin believes in the product that he has to offer. Academically, you know, I know he talks about it. I know he's always in pitch mode, but I think the pitch is genuine. Like, I don't think he's blowing smoke about how he feels about the full university experience academically and socially and all that stuff. And, you know, running out to Beaver Stadium is a plus that not a lot of people can offer. Having that whiteout is a pitch that you can offer. The facilities are improving. The family atmosphere thing is something that we hear all the time. I don't think that that's James Franklin saying it. I think that's James Franklin and all the coaches and all the players showing it whenever players see it. I don't think that's something that I'm sure James Franklin is aware and conscious of that, But I don't think that's something that is the sales pitch verbally. I think that's what they show and everything that they do.
Exactly. No, I agree with that 100%. I think that, well, again, and it's, for some kids, it's very specific what they're looking for. For other kids, it's a little bit more broad, so it just depends on the recruit and his family as well.
And if the family is, the family is one thing that we probably don't give enough credit about pitching to.
Yeah.
And feeling, having them feel reassured by them basically shepherding their son for 5 years,
right,
in all kinds of ways. We're going to put the growth of our son and his future in your hands. We need to trust you. And James Franklin has won the trust of many, many, many parents.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think that's one, it's easy to overlook because it's not talked about that much. And but, you know, if you're, these kids need to have their families feel comfortable with where they're going. They need to know that their families can come visit whenever they want, et cetera, and so forth. And so you find a lot of the time that a kid might commit to a school and nobody can figure out why. More often than not, the family is a big reason and a big part of the situation, the reason the kid committed.
So the Keystone Kickoff Show, this is Ask Greg, taking your Penn State football and recruiting questions. A lot of them coming from the Keystone Sports app. You download the app, ask Greg a question. We'll read it on the air and have a good conversation about it. We got a couple here from your Twitter, though, also, Greg. Liam says, not much to go on right now, but do you think Hunter Johnson transferring from Clemson is something Penn State fans should keep an eye on?
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, I think that it potentially, yeah, is that something Penn State could look into? Sure. I mean, whenever James Franklin discusses wanting two quarterbacks in a class or a total of five scholarship quarterbacks on the roster, it's always in play. To me, and this kid was a very high-profile recruit in the class of 2017, if I'm not mistaken. He was committed to Tennessee. Then he flipped to Clemson. Now he's leaving Clemson. Dustin, he's a Midwest kid. I think he's going to go to the Midwest, maybe a Purdue, maybe an Indiana, somewhere he can play immediately, kind of get away from the spotlight for a little bit. And I do not think Penn State fans need to keep an eye on this.
I think if he were to outwardly, if he were to pursue Penn State would gladly. Oh, but I don't think Penn State is in a position to need to really doggedly pursue that.
I just don't know. To me, do you really want to use a scholarship spot when, as we've talked about, you're really tight on scholarships on a guy that's going to have to sit a year? I don't know. I don't think it's something that Penn State fans need to be watching.
Well, according to the latest, though, Penn State fans should watch it. And this, from this vantage point, 24/7 Sports reporting that Purdue and Northwestern are two programs to watch. So if Penn State's not getting him, Penn State could be playing against Hunter Johnson in the near future. So yeah, I don't think any real threat there. PJ, will the defense be better in 2018 or 2019?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Do you even have to think about it?
No.
It's 2019 all the way, isn't it?
It should be, yeah. The one thing I get leery about is you know, we put a lot of future hype on guys that aren't on campus yet. But yeah, I mean, Penn State should be more experienced in 2019. They should have more returning starters in 2019. They should have more depth up the middle, and they'll have, you know, obviously the secondary will be loaded. So, yeah, I mean, the 2019 defense should be the better one. But the one thing I keep looking at with this defense this year is the potential of it and the fact that if everything goes the way that Penn State thinks it will, this group has a chance to be better than I think many people are expecting for a group that loses all four secondary starters. Jason Kabinda and Brandon Smith, Manny Bowen is gone. You lose some guys up front. I mean, don't get me wrong, they lose a ton. But from a potential, just nothing but potential standpoint, the group has a chance. Now, it needs to answer a lot of questions. Defensive tackle, okay? You have Kevin Givens and Robert Windsor. It's definitely that time of the day. Do you have anything else behind them?
Yeah.
I mean, Fred Hansard and Corey Bolds, they look like guys that can play right away. P.J. Mustipher and Aeneas Hawkins look like two guys that shouldn't have to redshirt. But what do you have behind him? Judge Culpepper, too. I don't want to forget him. But, you know, what do you have behind them? What are some of the things you can do to spell those guys or to have somebody else make a splash impact? What do you do at middle linebacker? And how do you rotate your secondary around? I mean, there's a lot for Brent Pry to figure out.
I think in all three of those cases, and it's not just about the freshmen, in all three of those cases, tackle, linebacker, safeties, you need another year for depth to develop. It's not just waiting for P.J. Mustipher. It's guys like Antonio Shelton. What's Ellison Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
There's other questions besides the freshmen. And you know, I think freshmen at the linebacker position, that's where I look ahead to 2019. Micah Parsons, Jesse Lucchetta, a redshirt freshman, Ellis Brooks, you know, whatever it comes of the 2019 class, that coming in. I think that 2019 is going to be a lot better for a linebacker. It's going to be – the depth is going to be a lot more proven at tackle. All your key players at cornerback, for the most part, Amani Oruwariye will be moving on. But, you know, a lot of the guys that are going to be impacted in 2018 will be back to make an impact in 2019. Yeah. Plus, I think the depth will be better. Fair question, though.
I can understand the thought process behind it. Just because, again, I think that – I mean, we're obviously projecting a lot with the 2019 defense. But it's take some projection with the 2018 group as well. I think some people are going to be higher on this group, and I think others are going to be lower on it. I don't know if you'll – honestly see a consensus going into the season. I think some fans will be pretty pumped up about the – and it, typically the way this works is that the people that follow recruiting closely tend to be a little bit more bullish on different areas because they know what kind of – you know, how good the kids were in high school, while others who, you know, wait until the first game and, you know, then peek at the freshman list or, you know – obviously I think most would know Parsons at this point, but not everyone might be aware of, you know, our listeners are, but maybe not everyone is, you know, Mustafer and Hawkins and Culpepper and these guys that, you know, could make a splash from day one. So I think you'll get some that are a little bit higher on this group going into the season than others, but at the end of the day, they just have a lot of questions to answer.
Alan wonders, will Jaquan Brisker arrive in December or June from Lackawanna?
Yeah, Ryan Snyder of Blue White Illustrated reports that he is probably going to come in June. That's a little bit unnormal. You typically get guys that are junior college players that they almost always tend to graduate in, especially when they go 2 years. They graduate in December. It looks like he's going to be June, though. So not the end of the world. You certainly would love to get him there sooner if it was all possible. It doesn't look like it's going to be. So you just get him here as soon as you can. Make sure he's doing the conditioning stuff on his own back in Scranton, assuming that's where he'll be finishing his winter coursework next year, and then see what you get once you get on campus. He obviously already looks the part now.
One more quick question from John. How much of recruiting is keeping up with the Joneses? It seems whenever a top-tier program offers a rising player, other major programs follow along with their offers. And that's true. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's a science to that almost. If you think a guy's under the radar, you might wait to offer him because you don't want it to be out there. Because then here comes the Calvary, you know.
Yeah.
Penn State and Florida State are particularly in that group when it comes to quarterbacks. I wouldn't say Penn State's all that reactionary to other people. I mean, at times they are. Everybody is. But
they've more often set the market than responded to the market.
Right. So that's why it can be hard. Sometimes you wait because you think a guy might get less exposure if you wait, and then you try and snap them up before anybody realizes it.
All right, that's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thanks for tuning in. You can always check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and download the Keystone Sports app. We'll see you next time. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.